Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it started in here.
And the bass keeps running, running, and 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 running, running, and
in this context, there's no disrespect. So when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
Parental guidance is suggested.
Alright, here we go with another show. Welcome to Distracted with Bikerson Gibbs. The kind of the Bikersons without Gibbs. Daryl's going to be joining us, I swear. It seems like he's always getting unloaded right around showtime. And so he's got some issues tonight. He does not have his video equipment with him where he's currently located. And so he will be joining us by audio only. He'll be on the blog talk. He'll be on the blog talk side. He'll be calling in. We'll have him by voice. He's not going to be on the video portion of the show with us tonight. We'll miss him because he's quite the animated character, especially on video. He's hilarious on audio. Of course, we'd like to thank everyone that's joining us here from the Blog Talk Radio website. I know we've got a great audience over there. We've appreciated all the support we've had from you guys. If you're not aware, you can catch us on X, Twitter, or as Daryl likes to call it, Malcolm Twitter. And you can also catch us on YouTube as well. We are live streaming over Twitter under the handle Bikerson Digital Media at Bikerson Live, or you can catch us on YouTube at Distracted with Bikerson Gibbs. We have our own channel dedicated over on YouTube. Please help us out. Give us a subscribe, give us a like, give us a comment on the content over there so we can help grow that channel and maybe actually make a dime or two doing this job that so far between this and our previous show that we did with Jeremy over at the Disrespected Trucker Radio Show, we're quickly closing in on 2 years and have not made any money whatsoever. So we'd kind of like to maybe get a little bit of ad revenue, but we got to hit some thresholds to do that. So please like, share, comment, subscribe, do whatever you can to kind of help us out there. Now, without further ado, I would love to introduce the lovely lady to my left. I think it's to your right if you're looking at the screen, but she's to my left. Carla Harley Chick, aka Carla Bikerson, my wife, love of my life. Here she is, Carla. How you doing?
Admitted in public on radio. I love it. I love it. Hello, everyone. How are we doing tonight? Are we ready for a great show? What do you got in store for us tonight?
All right. You know, I got a bunch of things. I know you got some kind of crazy stuff too.
Yeah, we can do that later.
Are we going to do that later? We're going to jump into that.
I'm going to let Daryl be on the phone for that one.
You want Daryl on the phone before you do your crazy, strange news?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Fair enough. I can accept that. Let me just go ahead and remove this one source here so that I can add in other sources later. Coming up on the show, and I haven't even had the chance to tell my lovely wife about this yet.
Uh-oh.
We actually have a video guest that's going to be coming on later. A very popular TikToker up in Canada, and she goes by the name, hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, Tahana. I don't actually know the pronunciation of her name. Huge up there, political commentator, and I've been following her for quite a while, and of course I'm always looking for talent to bring onto the show. I do have some other guests over from Europe that I'm working with. That would be great if they actually came on. Think heavy metal. Heavy metal. Anyway, so Tahana is supposed to be joining us a little bit later in the broadcast. She's actually going to be on video. And, well, You know what? If you are familiar with the disrespected trucker, Jeremy Johnson himself, the Honda talks about a lot of the same stuff. She does have a huge following up in Canada, and she's got a lot of insight into the latest little Canadian blunder up there in Parliament, where they celebrated someone. We're going to talk about this more in a little bit, but we're not going to use certain words on this show because we are on certain platforms that are very much into making sure you don't say the wrong things. And so we're just going to say that political party that was kind of being operated by the military over in Europe back in the 1930s led to a big war. They did a lot of bad things. There was a whole world court thing where they held trials. That party, we're not going to call them by their actual name. We're going to call them the not-so party because they're not so good people. And so they over in Canada, they celebrated an actual not-so, an actual not-so soldier because he had fought against Russia. And, of course, Russia's bad. And we're going to talk more about it. We're going to talk more about this not-so that got openly celebrated. We're going to talk about a lot more where that's going. And Tahana kind of has the inside scoop on that whole story. She's much more well versed on that particular piece of history than I am. So we look forward to her coming on. But to move on, of course, you know, it's us. Do you have anything to add yet?
No, you're doing great.
I'm doing great.
I'm just sitting here listening to you.
I feel strange sitting here without Daryl. You know, this.
I know, I'm not Daryl. I'm so sorry. I don't, you know.
This show does not work without Daryl. Like, you know, he's the sidekick. He's our sidekick. You may notice I actually changed. For those of you watching on video, it used to just say Bikerson on the bottom left-hand corner of my video. It now says Bikerson.
Okay.
You know, so this is Carla's second time, really. Now the dog decides to play.
I was wondering how soon you were going to say something about the dog. So I cannot control the dog. I apologize. But
Cooper.
He is definitely playing with the squeaky toys, but I did just walk in the house. And I think he's mad because I'm not playing with him.
It's kind of, because you made me come sit down. Right, it's kind of chaotic around here. We're all, no matter what, whether we're over the road, at home, everybody's always sliding in sideways to their parking spot the last minute to get this show launched, it seems like. And
the only way to go, just slide on in.
I noticed Brian is with us. We may bring Brian on the air.
Bring him on here because he could probably offer more than I can right now. Other than, you know, I can't wait to get to my silly news stories because that'll be fun. But Daryl's got to be on. I don't want to miss that.
Right. Now, you know what? We're gonna leave Brian alone just for the minute. I'm just giving you fair warning, Brian. I may involuntarily unmute your microphone and bring you on here to add to this little circus we got going on. So, you know what? Just to touch on a few light things, I'm trying to keep the not so serious stuff towards the front of the show, so that we can have Daryl's input when he gets here. But over in the Netherlands, and apparently this has been around for a little while, but it's just now kind of raising alarms, I guess you could say.
Alarms is a good word.
Yeah, people are just now starting to get alarmed about this whole show. It's called Simply Naked. Okay?
Not naked, simply?
Simply Naked.
Simply Naked. Okay.
Isn't that a drink?
I do believe it could be. If not, I'm going to make it a drink. What the heck?
Here's the issue with Simply Naked. Okay, normally I would applaud a TV show where people get naked. All right?
That is true.
I'm just saying. You know, I am who I am. Don't judge. But this particular show has an audience of 10 to 12-year-olds. Yeah, this is like a live show. I don't know if it's a live show, but it's recorded in studio. And the studio audience is made up of 10 to 12-year-old kids. And the show features male, female, transgender, and whatever other 900 genders or whatever pronoun they fit. But they're up on stage and they disrobe, revealing their full naked bodies. And they take questions then from their 10 to 12-year-old audience. Any questions they have about their bodies. Now, supposedly, according to the producers of the show, the whole point of this show is to combat negative body image or to promote positive body image. Essentially, they say that the availability of online porn, sexually suggestive advertisements, images, etc., all these people with the star athlete bodies in, you know, Speedos, bikinis. Anyway, they're saying the amount of publicly available images that these kids are able to get a hold of gives them a false sense of what the naked human body looks like and leads them to feel as though they are falling short, I guess you could say. And so supposedly this is all about combating negative body image by bringing on people that are not, you know, your star athletes or don't have your porn star body. Type. These are just normal, everyday, average people that I guess are whatever, you know, tall, short, medium, thin, not so thin, kind of very not thin, you know, whether they got whatever sizes, genitalia. Basically, they're saying that this leads to more body positivity amongst the kids as they see real people and what their bodies really look like and realize that, okay, you know, not every guy's home like Ron Jeremy, not every woman out there is built like, what was that, Baywatch, Pamela Anderson, Pamela Lee. Not everybody looks like that.
Because even when I was younger and in my teens, I didn't look at Pamela Anderson and be like, oh, look, you know, her body looks so much better than mine. What the hell is wrong with this?
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, so
and we're saying 10 to 12 year olds.
Yeah, so this is 10 to 12 year olds.
Why don't we put 10 to 12 year olds in the backyard, let them play with sticks and pine trees and all that. Let's let them grow up and be kids first. And okay, no. Okay.
You know, so I come to think of it, you know, when I was like 11, 12 years old, I think I was still pretending to be a pirate.
I don't know. Were you going around at 10, 12 years old comparing your private manhood to, you know, porn stars? Is that really going on right now, or am
you
I
know,
just, you know?
When I was, okay, when I was 12 years old, it was really hard to get your hands on porn. We didn't have the internet back then. You literally had to have, like, that one friend that had, like, the creepy stepdad that had, like, the stash up in their garage attic that you had to go and get your hands on it. Like,
well, yeah, everybody knew where their parents stashed.
Yeah, you had to get it at, like, yeah. You had to go look at it like 1 o'clock in the
right.
morning after the parents fell asleep, and you had to like tippy toe and crawl on your hands and knees to get to it.
Right.
You know, hope you didn't wake anybody up. And then it was just awkward because you had to look at it, but it was around other people, so you couldn't, what's the best way to say this? You couldn't capitalize upon the images you were seeing. How about that? We'll say it nice and softly. So, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like at 10 to 12 years of age.
When are we going to let 10 to 12-year-olds be kids and not make them 21, 22-year-olds when they're only 10 years old? That's what's wrong. I mean, seriously, but okay, the world is the world nowadays, so it is what it is. But, I mean, I think there would be better ways to go about body imaging and positive body imaging than putting a 10-year-old in front of a bunch of naked-ass people. And say,
naked
hey,
adults.
Here's what naked adults look like. And you know what? We're still going to have you. These kids are still going to be able to go to the internet. They're still going to be able to get their hands on these drop-down, gorgeous-looking species of human And so what does this really do? Is this really, really helping?
Well, okay,
this
is where the critics of the show come in. So the critics of the show claim that this is really just about building up the pedophile agenda.
Yeah.
So to call it, a message from Brian. Yes. Okay. Hopefully the censors don't hit me too hard from this, but fine. Brian says we'll call the not-sos the 1940s German Democrats. But yes, I did get your message for me.
And here we go.
Of course, that's not true. This show is strictly satire, not really. But, thank you for that.
I don't know. It seems to me by doing this, and maybe I'm just off my flipping rocker because I could be because I am old. Putting a bunch of 10 and 11, 12-year-olds in front of naked adults, great. And saying, hey, their body images are okay the way they are. You know what? They could be fully clothed and say that their body images are good, whether you're skinny, whether you're on the heavy side or whatnot. You can do this with clothes on and say your body imaging is fine. I do believe you are right. I think it opens up a whole new door of, hey, let's all get together at, you know, Mary's pajama party. We'll just all get naked and look at each other's body parts. Because, I mean, seriously, where does this stop? I don't know. Okay. I'm old school. I'm probably not the right person to have on this show right now.
You know, okay.
I am old school.
just for the record, and this is going to be archived, like internet archive history, my wife has admitted that she might be off her rocker. That's the big takeaway from the last 60 seconds here.
This is archived, so this is not kidding. Okay, so for that story, I can't imagine. Call in. Tell us what you guys think. Am I just absolutely loony right
and
now?
You know what?
Am I too old school that I can't see the bigger picture here of how this flipping helps our kids become more responsible in life? Maybe we should put more education in front of them, maybe more common sense, maybe more values and morals like we used to have in this country. Not, hey, let's compare your manhood to this guy's manhood and say, hey, Mr. 12-year-old, you may look like this or you may not, but it's okay.
What if we were to teach them how to read a map, or maybe how to do simple math without that Common Core stuff?
Right.
I mean, speaking of, let's talk about the 10 to 12-year-old.
Well, you know, this could go right in line that maybe our Congress in 20 years, because all these kids are looking at naked people, all Congress will just show up instead of in hoodies, like we talked about last week, they'll just all show up naked now because we'll get more done because there is no imaging issues. And we can just all sit around naked and, you know, pass great laws.
Oh, gosh, this way they won't be upset or disappointed when they see Nancy Pelosi or Adam Schiff naked. It's just so interesting.
And we did not need to go with those images, doesn't it? Thank you very much.
Oh, hell. Okay, we're always, you know, just going about things a bad way. You know, we're going to go ahead and open up the guest call headlines right now. And if you're listening to this show, first let me get my apologies if you have to go through this with us. But if you are listening to this show, the guest call in line is 516-387-1733. And we will gladly bring you on the air to hear what you have to say, field your questions, your comments. We love to hear from our audience. The number again, 516-387-1733. Once you call in there and you get to the point that you actually hear the radio show in your phone, I used to say in your headset or your handset, you know, like the old fashioned, you know, 1980s when you held
the phone.
Not the flip phones. I'm talking about
the old.
You're
going way back. Oh, my God.
You're talking ancient times. This is ancient times. The 1900s. Remember back when Walmart used to sell the 50-foot-long corded phone lines?
Oh, and you remember
how bad
it was when they just get all tangled up and then you couldn't, like, go
on a chair.
And you you have to try to untangle it and all that. I mean, those were the real struggles. And now kids, instead of doing that, get to sit and look at naked people. I mean,
I don't know.
Maybe, you know.
When I was like 11 or 12, I probably would have thought it was pretty cool. I don't know.
I was too busy playing football with the boys and climbing trees when I was 11, 12 years old.
Hey, I was riding bicycles, climbing trees, playing baseball, you know, playing drums.
Right.
I was really big. I had a drum set at the house.
I mean,
I was convinced I was going to be a rock star.
Right.
Where I would see naked people all the time. I mean, I can't pretend like I was so busy being a kid. I was unaware of nudity and those type of things. I mean, that's
being the naked wasn't even on my mind. No. And the biggest thing we did was we got into the sex jokes, and my best friend, Dad, used to have sex jokes, and we knew where they were hidden. And that was our biggest one that we used to have.
Secret sex jokes. Welcome to Distracted with Biker.
I'm distracting him. Do you guys see this?
Okay, maybe it's time to move on from the... Yo, we'll check it. Let me check and see if we have a caller that wants to come on here. Oh, but yeah, once you hear the show in the... In your phone, in your headset, your handset. If you're calling from a phone booth somewhere in 1985, once you hear the radio show in whatever device you're using to listen to us, go ahead and hit the number one on your dial pad. At that time, we will get a little symbol by you here on the switchboard. It's literally the icon of a raised hand, and that lets us know that you have something to say and you want to say it. And if your name is Brian, chances are we're going to put you on the microphone whether you want to be or not, because that's
right.
Just the kind of people
we are. Because I voted, yeah. And Brian, you lost. So.
And, you know, I'm pretty sure wherever Brian is, it's dark by this time, and I know he's pulling something oversized. So I know he's not going to be busy talking back and forth with the pilot cars and the polo cars and all that stuff like he usually is if I ever get to call him during the day. So Brian, I know you're parked somewhere. You're running a permit load. It's dark. You're parked up for the night. So, yep, don't be surprised when I unmute you and involuntarily induct you into our show, Brian. All right, so moving on. Since Daryl still isn't here.
That means I may have to go into my stories here.
We're not quite there yet. We're not quite there yet. Okay. Somebody keeps that. Let's see. Anywhere on the floor is fine.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm just like getting, okay, random. Okay. Over in Delaware, let's talk about Delaware. Another little bit of a breaking news story. Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf has been exposed, I guess you could say, for basically covering for the Bidens during what they call a FARA investigation, that is the Foreign Agents Registration Act, F-A-R-A, FARA. And basically what that entails is if a U.S. official is doing business with foreign officials, they have to register the people they are doing business with the U.S. government, kind of a disclosure kind of thing, to say, hey, I do business dealings with this government official from a foreign country. And of course, China in particular is a big one because we have kind of an adversarial relationship with them. They're kind of an enemy. I guess you could say they're definitely trying to subvert U.S. interests. They've been involved in this little, almost like the Cold War, kind of this cat and mouse game. They have been caught in recent years trying to hack into our electrical grid. I won't get into all the things of why China is considered an enemy. But there was an investigation, believe it or not, this goes all the way back to 2020, prior to the elections in 2020, which is, I feel like that's an important piece of information to point out. because the assistant U.S. attorney in Delaware, Leslie Wong, basically got involved in an investigation into the Biden and insisted that the Biden name be removed from the search warrant, because I guess the original search warrant actually specifically named Joe Biden. And the U.S. attorney basically said that they would not be cooperating, remove Biden's name from the search warrant. And here's a quote from an email dated August 7th, 2020. Please focus on FARA evidence only. I would think that if there was evidence related to failing to register under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, that the person doing business with those foreign agents would be a part of that evidence.
You would think.
I mean, granted, I'm a hillbilly truck driver.
It has common sense. And, you know, that would be common sense, which we know doesn't.
Well, I have a little bit of an understanding of the legal system. Okay, the five W's, right? Who, what, when, where, why. And then the H, like the five W's and the H. Who, what, when, where, why, how. Who did it, right? What did they do? Why did they do it, right? Who, what, oh, when did they do it? Why did they do it? Where did they do it? Like all this stuff, right? It's basic information. You have to include all this in your legal documents if you're going to prosecute somebody criminally. All those questions have to be answered. That's what defines what they did, who it was that did it, how they did it, where they did it, when they did it, why they did it, motive, right? Evidence. What happened? So we have this investigation into failing to register foreign agents, like, you know, Chinese communist operatives that are sending you millions of dollars, apparently, right? But we're gonna remove the who from the search warrant, because apparently who did it is no longer important, right? All we care is that we prove a crime was committed. Who committed the crime is of absolutely no importance whatsoever. And now, as much as she hates me when I do this, Carla, what do you think of this?
I love it when you do. Yeah, on this one, obviously we know why they removed the two. If it was on the other side and it was on the other coin and it started with a T, it'd be all over it, and they would be tripling his name in this thing and coming up with even more stuff.
Well,
so,
yeah,
I'm sorry, but it fits their agenda. It's doing exactly what they wanted to do. They're trying to keep the spotlight off someone who it's becoming harder and harder and harder to keep the spotlight off of him. I think it just total. It shows where our country has got to, where the point is. It is no longer. What am I trying to say? You know, true reporting of the facts anymore. It's whatever they want to make them be, and you cannot remove the who, because if it was you and me, it wouldn't get removed. So it's obviously why we're doing this. And, you know, but the story's out there. I mean, we all know who behind it. Just put the name in. You know, I mean, we all know who it is. So, you know, why are we trying to hide it? But it's to set up their agenda, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay. So, fair enough. Now, if you're going to try to argue that everything is fair and justice is being administrated equally.
It's just not.
I believe it is. But if you are a lefty that found this show by accident, and you're sitting there listening to us talk about this right now, and the funny thing is we're not even on the right over here. We're actually in the middle. We're centrist. We're not cult 45 people. We do have a lot of criticisms of Trump and certain Trump supporters. Excuse me. But if you're sitting there and you're listening to this and your head's about to explode, I would love it if you would call in right now, 516-387-1733, and explain to me that had, let's say, the DOJ been investigating Donald Trump for illegal foreign business dealings, and the Attorney General for the state of Florida, down there in DeSantis Land, had blocked them from putting Donald Trump's name on a search warrant, I want you to try to tell me, in all honesty, you would consider that a fair move and that there would be nothing politically wrong with that. I just, mainly for my entertainment, because if you tried to say that and you're one of these never Trump people, I know you're full of shit. But call in, have this debate with us. I'd love to hear it. We need to remind someone to keep it down just a little bit, though, here. but we are going to move on in the sake of keeping the show going. I really wish Jared was here. What? So, all right. So in 4 days, the government shutdown is due. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit here. We're not quite there yet. We are going to talk about it. But before that, as soon as my wife gets back over here, I think we're going to go ahead and we're going to launch into her strange news. I think that's what we say. Your strange news?
Sorry, I had to. You made me a prisoner of the show and you wasn't letting me get any water, so I had to get some water. I apologize.
It's like you're working for Jeff Bezos or something.
I swear, I'm working for somebody. So we're going to do my strange news.
Yeah, we're going to do your strange news.
All right, you want story one or story two?
You know what? I like story one to go first, because that one is just...
Can you allow it there for you?
Right in line with the show as it's forming up. Go ahead.
All right, so story one, we'll go ahead and go with this one. For those out there who love to play chess, the game of chess, you know, with the queen and the king and the rook and all that, right?
The bishop,
you know, the game of chess, right? Right now, the World Chess Championships are going on, okay? And I think the number one seed out there is a guy by the last name of Newman, who's sitting number one and is a 5-time world champion. And he has recently been defeated by this 20-year-old kid by the name of Hans Newman, who is ranked 69th.
Wait, both last names are Newman?
Or not Newman. I'm sorry. I did say that wrong, didn't I? No, wait, hold on. It is. Oh, my God. See, this is why you don't put me into this. Carlson. Yes, Magnus Carlson.
Carlson is the number one.
So he's ranked number one. Newman's ranked number 69. They go, they play each other, and behold, Newman beats Carlson. And this is over the board. This isn't via a Zoom meeting or online or anything like that.
Hold on. I'm laughing because I know where this is going, but I just found out something else. Go ahead.
Okay. So... Carlson has done a lawsuit against Newman. Newman's 20 years old. Like I said, ranked 69th. He beat the 5-time world champion. Now, you're probably wondering, the lawsuit says that he cheated, and that's why he beat him.
It was rigged.
It was not rigged. Now, if you think about rigging a chess game, how do you rig a chess game? What, you have the queen automatically move because you can think, you know, I don't know. I mean, you have hundreds of people watching it. You have the board in front of us. I mean, how do you cheat on a chess game?
Tell everybody. We need to know.
So
how do you cheat on a chess game?
It wasn't that he had a buzzer put into his foot to say, hey, if you move the queen this way, you know, it buzzes twice or anything. Carlson has come out and said he cheated by putting anal beads up his butt, and every time they vibrated, it told him what move to make, and that is the reason that this man, ranked 69th, has beat the 5-time world chess champion.
Okay.
Now, the story even gets better because
Elon
Musk got involved.
Elon got involved.
Elon got involved because he tweeted.
Mr. X himself.
Yeah, and his comment on how this all went down, and I'm going to quote unquote this. So, quote, talent, and I love this. You got to think about this. Are you ready to think?
I'm ready to think.
Okay, talent hits a target no one else can hit. Genius hits a target no one can see. Of course, because it's in your butt. Unquote. That's what he said about this guy. Now, obviously, he is out there. He is saying that, no, he did not cheat. He is not putting obese up his butt to be the number one world 5-time champion. But there it is. There is your strange story coming out. What do you think?
First off, let me point out just the coincidental hilarity that the guy ranked 69th. You know,
I did.
69. That the guy ranked 69th. Is accused of cheating by using anal beads.
Good one. It not only did he get accused, but it was a lawsuit.
A lawsuit, that, right.
Yeah, a lawsuit. I'm sorry. Can I ask this one? If you need to know the who, the what, the when, the where, and the why, we got the who, right? We got the where. It's a chess champion.
We got who, what, when, where, why. Obviously to win, and now we know how. The how is
the how. There you go. Boom. Guilty. As charged. Rip them out.
Hopefully, the Delaware U.S. attorney will get involved. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Delaware will get involved to let them know that they need to strike the name of the guy from this investigation in order to keep it non-political. But you know, I have this vision. I don't know. These things pop in my head. I have this vision of Bill Clinton staring into the camera in the White House press room saying, I swear, I did not use anal beads in that chess match. Well, I had anal beads, but I didn't put them in.
Maybe, you know, Clinton's part of the dog's having a good time.
The dog has played with a squeaky toy more in the last 20 minutes than it has in the last 2 months.
So I guess, out there to all of our listeners, I don't know. I mean, new way of cheating at the game of chess. You know, I may go downstairs and get the chess game out and be like, here, let's try this.
I mean, I'm coming home from work where, like, oh, I see you bought a chessboard.
And here's your anal beads, honey.
What's with your sudden interest in chess, darling?
I'm just trying to determine how you prove in a lawsuit that he actually used the anal beads. I'm sorry.
Do these anal beads have GPS locations?
That's what I was going to see. Yeah.
Are they smart anal beads?
And this is why I wanted Daryl on.
Okay.
So there you go.
You know what? It might actually be a little bit more scary if Daryl was on here to talk about anal beads and chess. Man, where the hell are you, Daryl?
Right. That's a good one there. So.
We need you on this show. I don't know if he would make it worse or if he would make it better. 3 minutes ago, he said he's going to be calling in a bit.
Well, there you go. That's his 3 minutes. You know?
Yeah, okay.
He may be trying to, no, I won't say. He's probably trying to figure out the game of chess right now. No, I did not say that.
I'm sending him a message right now saying, we need you.
Oh, no, come on. That was a good story.
And
you guys want to know why you haven't?
All the time. Okay.
Yeah. You want to know why that's not, like, all over CNN and everything else? I mean, isn't that noteworthy?
I would think. I mean, okay, this opens up a whole new conversation. Are anal beads and chess matches in orientation subject to protection? I don't know. Are they?
They could be. I mean, where does it stop, folks? Where does it stop? You know?
Oh, okay.
Do we...
Oh, hold on. Daryl says he's listening to us.
Uh-oh.
Oh, there he is. There he is. Okay, Daryl.
Daryl.
We are going to bring you on. I see we also have our guest from Canada. I see her on camera now. And so I don't know if you got my message, Tahana. I hope I'm saying your name right. But just to cover you on audio and video, I am going to need you to call in on your phone. Hopefully you're using your computer. If you're able to call in on the phone, the number is 516-387-1733. That way we have you on audio for both the video as well as the blog talk stream. I see you're punching away at her phone
blog
there.
Talk.
Daryl, are you with us?
I'm here. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Oh, I can, but you sound far away.
Wait a minute, hold on. Let me adjust the mic. Hold on.
All right.
How's that?
That's a little bit better, but maybe just talk loud.
How is
Welcome,
that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you still sound kind of far away for some reason, but man.
Wait, all right, hold on. Yeah. How's that? That
didn't change nothing. A little bit better.
All right, how's that?
Getting better.
That?
All right, so,
How's that?
You just missed this whole conversation that we've got going on.
I heard something about anal beads and
Yes, this is
my story that I brought to the table tonight, Daryl.
Cheating in chess with anal bead vibrator messages to let you know when to move your, knight to bishop. I don't know.
No,
I'm kind of lost.
Cheating in a chess game. This was in the world championship.
Yeah, like a world championship, right?
Game. Yeah.
So we are going to come back to that because I see, I'm still waiting for nope. Tahana, are you able to call us?
What's her name?
Her name
How
is Tahana.
How do you pronounce her name? Tahida.
It's Tahana. I think that's Tahana.
Tahana. Okay. Tahana.
I see. I've got her on
that's
camera.
That's not like a character. It's not like a character from Mortal Kombat.
As well as our video people, our YouTube and Malcolm Twitter people.
Malcolm Twitter.
So let me see. I'm gonna bring her on camera here. Oh, okay. Nope. She got a phone to her ear. I think she's calling in. So we'll get her here.
Is she shaking her head? Is she shaking her head yes like they do on the news when those news people are talking? Hey, Charlie, can you hear us now where he's up there doing the he's up there at the Florida beach front getting soaked in, and he nods his head yes before he comes on? Is that what she's doing?
Yeah, something like that. Let me check.
Too bad. I'm going.
Oh.
Too bad, little car.
Yes,
I'm hurt.
Go ahead and call in now. Here we go. Okay, now she's been officially notified here. There we go. I'm going to assume this is her here. I'm going to go ahead and bring her up on camera.
Tahana, finish him.
And then let me go. There we go. Okay, I've got her on video. Let me bring her up on Blog Talk. All right. I think we got her on. All right. Donna, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on. How are you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. Let's see. Let me just move the camera a little bit. There we go. Now you can see.
I'm here.
This is a crazy show. kind of go over
What's that in the background?
Oh, it's my dog.
Oh,
there we go. Okay. So what got my attention lately? There was actually a couple of videos you did on TikTok. One of them was a great coverage of the propaganda techniques that are being used around the world. That was quite an awesome video. And then another one was you talked about over in Parliament the celebration of the Nazis. An old Nazi from Ukraine that was given a standing ovation by Trudeau in the parliament, and you know what, you've got so much knowledge on a lot of the stuff that's happening around the world. I'm just going to kind of hand the mic over to you and just let you run with it.
Oh, okay. So my whole thing is basically just waking people up and letting them know that this information and basically the truth is out there. It's just a matter of how you're able to find it and how they play mind games with us so that we don't notice what they're doing. And my whole goal of, I guess, my page was to expose the truth, but now I'm getting more into the techniques that are being used by certain agencies in order to actually put us asleep. So that's kind of what I do, and I don't hold back. I say whatever. Facebook has taken me off the monetization because of the stuff I say, so definitely worth it.
Right. I get you there. Have you seen what a lot of people are calling, like, the rainbow not-so symbol from APEC?
No. Oh, is it that APEC meeting with, I believe it was a flower or something that they used? I think it was like baby blue and pink.
Like a symbol that has a shape that really resembles a symbol from the 1930s, 1940s, but it's in kind of rainbow color. I think it's the Asian Pacific Economic Committee or something like that. It's called APEC. And
okay, yeah.
They are, of course, a partner with the WEF. And a lot of people are kind of looking at people like George Soros. They're looking at what just happened over in Parliament. They're looking at APEC and this logo. And some people are starting to wonder, like, did the old Nazis ever really die out? Or are they still here, present, and trying to move forward in their original? I know you made a reference to the Fourth Reich. Are they still trying to kind of take over the world? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, 100%. With the symbolism, just because the Nazi symbol does come from ancient Japanese symbols, so they definitely took and ruined that symbol for pretty much the rest of eternity. However, I don't think the Nazis ever went away after World War II. I 100% believe that they are now just working in a more underground way, because if you look at all of the propaganda techniques that were developed and used in World War II, they're being pretty much refined to absolute perfection in today's world, and they have the power of social media and the power of technology to even further their agenda through propaganda in a much easier way. So I don't think the Third Reich ever actually died off. It just kind of went a little quiet and underground, and they basically took and rebranded themselves. And I honestly believe they rebranded themselves as liberals with the liberal movement, even though our conservatives here in Canada are exactly the same. Like, they work for the same side. We don't have a difference. But in theory, the difference between conservative and liberal stances still stands. But in reality, we don't really have an opposition here in Canada. But definitely the Fourth Reich is the new liberal movement. You can see it with how they operate. If you don't go along with their agenda and you don't go along with what they want you to go along with, they basically want to cancel you and throw you into, you know, the cancel culture pile so that you disappear and that nobody asks about you. And that's exactly what they did to Jewish people in World War II with the concentration camps. Basically just put them in there without anybody knowing where they are. And that is the exact same thing that they're using with cancel culture today.
Ghettos.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities. And we've talked about that on our previous show, the Disrespected Trucker radio show, quite a bit. You know, everybody looks over the fact that there was a good 15 to 20 years of demonizing one particular class of people by the party in power. And there was a lot of the, kind of the original cancel culture where they went through and basically if you were a teacher and you were not willing to teach what the government wanted, which was that this one group was to blame for everything, and that particular group of people was very bad, if you weren't willing to teach your students that, you quickly got fired. And we're kind of starting to see that now where, you know, one particular group of people have privilege. They are to blame for all the ills of the world. And if you're teaching in a public school and you're not willing to teach that, you're going to be disciplined, you're going to be fired. You know, controlling the narrative, I believe, is what it was called back then. We see a lot of that, and we see that with internet censorship. We see that with a lot of the corporations who they will support, who they won't support. You either toe this line or you don't get funding. Basically, the good old, you do exactly what we say, how we say, or you're cut off. You don't have the ability to live. And it is a very frightening time, and I'm really glad that we have people out there that have, you know, large audiences that are listening to them when we throw up these warning signs, these alarms that, hey, history is repeating itself. You're in the midst of it, whether you realize it or not. But when it's happening again, Daryl, what do you have for Pocahontas
to say about this?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Hey, well, it's history, okay? Yeah, the Nazi Party, they never died. You know, they went underground just like any other scumbag party. But the thing is this. You have to remember, the Nazi Party, can they list, they watched with the Jim Crow laws. They sat back and came to the United States, looked at our Jim Crow laws, and they applied it. And then they went further with it. Now, if you look at today, like they said, the concentration camps, we have ghettos. Look at the school system, especially with the inner school system. They're not teaching them anything. And then now, instead of learning multiplication, English, and all that, we're too worried about what sex they are, if they think they're a dog or something. And then the teachers who want to teach, they can't teach because we have people in legislation that is so far liberal that they just let everything go instead of things that are right. And the things that party has done, you're correct, and she is correct. If they're doing it now, people just want to close their eyes and pretend it's not happening. And if you do call it out, they want to call you, well, you're racist or you're this or that. I really don't give two lampshakes of a butt's tail if you think that way. Facts are facts. If your feelings get hurt because of facts, then that's on you. But folks, people got to start waking up because all this stuff is coming into play again. And it's just a fact, man, this stuff came from the Democratic Party. Democratic Party was in charge of Jim Crow. Jim Crow, people from Germany came down and they observed and studied our Jim Crow laws and looked at, oh, wait a minute, they can do this to this race of people? Instead of hanging people, they went on and burned them in the concentration camps and stuff. So it's pretty messed up, and you got to call it like it is, and I'm glad she is, and we do it on this show, and we got to continuously do that, and we got to start voting for people who's going to fight against this. Canada, I'm sorry, but daggone, y'all are screwed up. because you got people. Trudeau, I don't even see how he's still in power, and it's, and he's just tearing up Canada. Canada's not like it used to be.
That is so true. See, we're so screwed here. We're just like, at this point, we're all just laughing and we're just drunk 24/7. Like, that's the only way to survive Canada is to just drink and laugh it off, I swear. Like, even us Canadians are like, just throw out the entire parliament, put them in the garbage, dude. They're like, there's no fixing this. We need to start again, like, from fresh. Yeah, it's just, such a mess up here.
But how can you start from fresh? Because you got... You have a party that's supposed to be conservative, supposed to be for working people, working class people, supposed to be for doing things that are right, but they're not because they're gone so far liberal. My thing is, how are you going to replace those people? Because they're just messing up. They took the rights away from the truckers. The truckers, they call them terrorists. For them to stand up for their rights, have bouncy balls, having barbecues and saying, Trudeau, you suck. We are not going for this. And then they go ahead and label them terrorists, and then they start taking away their money. And people, Trudeau, he is into this central bank stuff. So if Trudeau's into the central bank stuff, he sits back and labels them as terrorists, and then their money get cut off. Folks here in the United States, what are you going to do? They've already done this to one group of people, and that's all you parents. They called you what? Terrorists. If they go to the central bank thing and they call you a terrorist, they're going to say, well, you know what? We're going to take away some of your money. And they'll have every right to do so because y'all decided to stay away, be woke, and instead of standing up and saying no more and crying about Donald Trump. I'm going to stop because I can keep going.
It's crazy what the world has come to. Carla, what kind of... No.
That's your conversation. I just talked about anal beads during test tournaments, okay? This is just...
Oh, I froze.
Honestly, what is she talking about?
I actually got on camera, and that is the first thing I heard was you guys talking about anal beads. I'm like, I think I'm on the wrong podcast. I was like, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm supposed to talk about politics, but I guess I can, like, do a little bit on anal beads. I mean, I don't know anything about them, but, like, I mean, I can bullshit my way through a conversation, I guess.
Well, he made the mistake of telling me I was coming on because Daryl was not going to be here on time. So I told
him I
was going to bring my own kind of fun story to the distracted show. It was a match where this five-time world leader did a lawsuit because the guy that played him, he accused him of cheating by using vibrating anal beads in his foot.
Yeah,
that was just my way of finding things. You know, my husband knows that. You know, that's me. You know.
Yes.
Oh, I loved it.
And a little bit of humor on our show, and sometimes you get a little bit carried away with the humor part. But folks, if you have a question for Tahana, 516-387-1733. That's our guest call in line. Hit number one on your dial pad. Let us know that that you want to get on here and talk with Tahana. And we really appreciate you coming on here tonight and talking to us. If you don't follow her on TikTok, what is the TikTok name? It's Tahana, right? T-A-J-A-N-A.
Yeah, I think it's Tiana or TruthSeeker01011 if you put either one. It's all good. Honestly, everyone gets my name wrong. I work with a bunch of dudes, and I get a new nickname, like, every day. So it's like if I hear, like, idiot, I'm like, oh, no, that might be me today. So I just turn around. I'm like, hey, you know. So I'm totally used to, like, having my name mispronounced. Like, I don't even, like, worry about it.
I just – automatically give everything a Spanish pronunciation if it doesn't look English? I do.
Yeah. Oh, honestly, you're not the first. Somebody thought my name was Tijana, and they asked if I was French, and I was like, dude, okay, like, you can call me ugly, but, like, don't tell me I look like I'm from Quebec. I'm Albertan. Like, we don't do that stuff around these parts.
See, and I'm from Indiana. I would have said Tijana because that's the idea. Yeah. You literally pronounce it the way it's spelled. Ah, Jana. You know, but yeah. So now we know
that's
your name.
Awesome.
That's the Indiana girl in me.
No, I'm
oh
reaching it.
Gosh.
Thank you for having me on. I'm sorry I'm not dressed. I literally just came from site. I was called in at like 7 in the morning and thought I'd be gone by like 2, but yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah, you know, we're always sliding in sideways right before the show starts every time. It's just the nature of how things work. Last week, if you watched the camera that was rolling during the introduction, I was literally putting up the studio background as the intro screen was rolling. So. It's always that way. So we definitely appreciate you for coming on the show tonight. And I don't want to keep you too long. Thank you for all you did to make time for us tonight. But give me the pronunciation of your name one more time.
Tijana. It's kind of like Diana, but with a T, just spelled like way, way messed up.
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree. Diana. Put her on Mortal Kombat. Diana, finish him.
We're doing this.
That was awesome.
Diana, win.
If I recall from one of your videos, you're actually, are you Serbian?
Yeah, I'm half Serbian, half Bosnian.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
wasn't born in Canada,
yeah.
Oh, I froze
right,
again.
Yeah, no,
I always freeze on, like, the weirdest spot.
All right. Well, Tijana.
Hey.
Tijana. Thank you very much for being here. I'm going to go ahead and let you enjoy the rest of your evening. And it doesn't look like we have anybody that's got any questions for you. So thank you so much, folks. If you're not subscribed
awesome.
Or following
you.
TikTok, give her a follow because she's got lots of great information. All right.
Awesome.
Heck
thank
yeah.
you so much for having me on your show. I hope you guys have a wonderful evening.
You too,
right,
Diana.
You too. Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you as well.
Hey, Chris. Hello.
Yes.
All right.
Yep, I'm here.
Hey, I want to say something about Colorado, daggone it.
All right.
And this deals with Trump because we have, and I don't know, all these Yahoos. Let's put it like this. All right, number one, and folks, I want people who are listening. How many people we got listening? Help me understand this. Trump, he is no longer president, but yet he's running. Now the Democratic Party is so scared of this man that now they're trying to get different states to get him off the ballot, which
yes.
sounds like we're going into a third world country. Now, here in Colorado, and I like to understand this. All right, in Colorado, they're looking at trying to do the same thing. But the problem is this. There wasn't anybody in Colorado complaining. It was an organization from D.C. who came here, and they needed some Coloradoans, which they got like 6, for them to have a legal standing in this case. Because without a victim, no person is harmed. So I'm... And this is, you know, somebody in Colorado, please tell me this. I'm wondering who in D.C., the D.C. group, asked any Colorado citizen, you know, are they being harmed because President Trump is running? Because they didn't come to me. And then why is it that a group from D.C. can come here to Colorado and put in a lawsuit when they're not even from Colorado and Trump has not been here? Looking at this.
It's interesting.
And I'm looking at it, I don't think there's any citizens, if not enough, citizens to sit back and complain to be a victim of this. You know, I'm listening to this, and people, they have this phobia against Trump, which if you look at it, if you look at anyone in history, when they go against the status quo or people that are in government, what does the government do? They try to stuff them out. They'll try to kill them, which happened to Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Kennedy, and along with some other folks. And then you have Trump, and I ain't saying that he's perfect, because he's not, but he's not part of that cesspool. And even though he is rich, he has helped a lot of people, no matter what your demographics are. And some of you rap stars, you used to talk about Trump in a heartbeat. I got a friend of mine. He's a brother. His name is Reggie. He has a station here. He has a Trump bus. Trump personally knows him. Trump sees him and picks him out of the crowd. He did a song for Trump and his wife, and they did it. They played his song on their special occasion. So how can someone absolutely sit back and honestly say Trump is prejudiced when he does things like that, but the news don't cover it? And then now they're trying to get him off the ballot? And then you got some yahoos from Washington, D.C. come here to Colorado and try to make it seem like it's a Colorado group when there's only six people who are supposed to speak for the rest of us? How is this even possible? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because if you remember when there were challenges to the Supreme Court about the outcome of the 2020 election, essentially you had 17 states. I know Texas was one of them. Several others, I think Missouri. But they essentially filed with the Supreme Court saying that, hey, by these other states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, et cetera, these swing states, by them not following their constitutional requirements for how they handled the elections, right, for changes to how they counted, et cetera, they said that basically those states altered the outcome of the election in a way that harmed our state. And basically the decision that was made by the Supreme Court was that because it happened in another state, these other states had no standing to challenge what they were doing there. Now it seems like you've got the same type of situation in Colorado, where you have non-Coloradoans stepping in, getting involved in Colorado politics, trying to force Trump to be removed from the ballot. And I guess now those states, those people from other states have standing in Colorado's business. I don't get, how do we not see that as a double standard?
Exactly. And then you have a governor that's here. He doesn't have enough gumption to stand up and say, you know what, we're not doing this. This is against the constitutional. This is not right. You know what, we're going to have a fair election. So, you know what, if the man wants to be on the ballot, he's on the ballot. Fortunately, we got people who's in power. They don't have enough gumption and enough integrity to say, you know what, right is right, wrong is wrong, you're overstepping your boundaries, get the heck out of my state.
Gotcha. Now, Daryl?
Yeah?
I am going to step away from the console for just a couple of minutes. And I'm going to leave my wife in charge.
Oh, great.
With you.
You know what happened the last time you had me talking? I was talking about anal beads.
Okay. You know what?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
I will be right back.
Daryl, you're in charge. I'm just going to sit here and agree with you.
I'm in charge. All right. Oh, y'all really want that? Okay. I don't like my Kamala. She is pathetic. People. And okay. I'm going to talk about Colorado for a little bit. What is?
Okay.
How come there's a lot of people in legislation that will not stand up to the teachers union. Why is it that we have kids? Let's put it like this. I'm not going to name the school. I will not name the school because a friend of mine works in this school district, so I don't want to get her in trouble. And I'm not, unless she gives me permission to say the name, I am not going to. But they got kids that are so bad. They are so bad that they have to have guards there to escort these kids out. And then at the same time, these parents, they sit back and say, well, my kid didn't do that. They have no responsibility of their own kid. Run them over. Apparently, their kids do not respect the parents at home. And it comes all the way into our teachers, where they're supposed to teach, but they won't do anything because, one, we got a teachers union, which is not for teachers teaching. They're there for one purpose, is to change our kids to think that America is weak, that they don't know what sex they are, but we can dumb them down so that way when they graduate from high school, they don't know how to count change. They're not that educated. And then basically we're setting them up so they can have paying jobs. But the funny thing about it, the low-paying jobs are slowly being automated. So where does that leave
right.
us? And so we have some people. Where's that?
You know, I mean, and maybe, there goes the electronic system here. Here's what I'm thinking. How do you separate, and they're trying to get rid of the middle class in this country? How do you do that? You take the older people,
yep.
you kill them off how they did. You have the rich people now that are out there, and then you have the middle class that you're going to squeeze over to the poverty section, and then the kids who are going to be running this country in 15, 20 years, you're going to give them an education where they cannot have the ability to flip and run a country, run a corporation or anything. So now you're going to have two classes. You're going to have the poverty and you're going to have the rich, which is where this country is going.
Exactly. But we have people that's in the middle. We have some people in Colorado legislation that is trying to fight that, but we have way too many people that's in our Colorado legislation, dumbified, so they don't get an education. And me personally,
mm-hmm.
I think if for public schools, if we have children that have to bring in guns, that does not want to learn, that doesn't respect their parents, that we should have a school that is basically like the military. Not saying that you have to go to the military when you're done with school, but a school that's basically like the military, a school where they're going to make these individuals, I don't care if you're male or female, they're going to make you understand. When you get into trouble, there are repercussions. You need to learn how to respect your parents. You need to learn how to respect yourself. You need to learn how to respect elders. And if your parents can't do it, then this school will. And I think the school district should say, you have a choice, Miss Parent or Mr. Parent. Your child constantly comes in here and acts a fool, doesn't act right, doesn't want to come to school. You have two choices. A, you send them to this school where they'll stay in there until they graduate, or at least they show that they got some respect and their grades come up. Or B, you're going to be in charge of them, and then it's all on you. And what happens to you is on you. And if the police come on you and say, hey, how come your child isn't in school? Then that's you. Because we have too many kids coming in, going into school, and they're acting a fool. And we have these school boards that are permitting it. We have parents that are in self-denial, or they're too afraid where they want to be their kids' friend, or they want to be in the social group, so then they're accepted through their kids.
Yeah, and you know, we know they've been the trucker movement I was a part of, Jeremy and I were both a part of in 2018, 2019. Everything about that was a lot. It was about so much more than the trucker movement. We were trying to sound the alarm that they had already gone after the ranchers and the farmers, and that they were now going after the trucking industry. And we warned that they will be coming for everybody else, that they want all small business owners essentially destroyed and gone. And
yep.
we were warning people that, hey, they are going to make some moves that is going to decimate the middle class. They're going to be coming after the rest of you small business owners. And we were saying that, especially we were saying that really hard in one particular group I was a part of at the end of 2019. A lot of people didn't take us seriously. Lo and behold, 2020, what happens? The lockdowns. Small businesses decimated in the
yep.
tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of businesses shut down.
Yep.
And they couldn't recover financially. Meanwhile, Amazon, Walmart, right? All your big box corporations, they got millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of million dollars in bailout money from the government, right? For the
yep.
The relief that were a part of the stimulus programs. But the small business owners, most of them were left out in the cold. No real
Correct.
Economic recovery for them. Those businesses were just destroyed. We knew some small business owners here in Illinois that ultimately didn't make it. They couldn't survive. And it was sad because prior to that, they actually had a very booming business going on. They were very popular. They had a very popular spot in town. They were the biggest thing in town. They were the biggest draw. They were doing just fine. And then all the restrictions hit. They didn't have enough cash in reserve, you know, to weather a storm that lasted 2 fucking years, excuse my language, 2 years that this game got played and their business was down. And they ultimately couldn't make it, you know. And that's the same story. Take that story and repeat it, you know, hundreds of thousands of times from coast to coast. And that's what happened. They decimated the small businesses. We've seen their intentions in things like the PERL Act, where they tried to eliminate, and out in California did successfully eliminate, side jobs, contractor jobs, where people could go out
yep.
and earn good money on a side hustle. They're just, yeah, that's what they want. It is. They want the aristocratic system. They want the wealthy, powerful people and the poor people. They don't want a middle class
yep.
that's independent. They don't want a middle class that's self-sufficient. They want the rich people who are in power to dictate to the poor people what they have to do in order to receive their handout. And that's been my thing. But I'm going to move us on here because
right.
this is distracted. We do talk about all the news. It isn't news for some reason. And so we're going to talk about this looming government shutdown. And here's my concern. I don't care at all about the prospect of a government shutdown. I already know they will not allow the government to be shut down for any extended period of time because, God forbid, the people figure out that this country runs just fine without them, right?
Yep.
They can't have that, right? So they have to scare you. They have to scare you. They have to talk about this government shutdown. They got to whip everybody into a frenzy because that is when they sneak the Trojan horses in.
Yep.
They will get you so worried and so afraid of what's going to happen if the government's not funded and has to do a full shutdown or a partial shutdown, and we'll have all the talking heads on all the mainstream media, government-controlled media stations, right? They'll all be talking about what a doomsday it'll be if the government shuts down. down and blah, 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 your grandma dying, whatever else, right? To get everybody scared, to get everybody behind this notion that, oh, my God, the sky is going to fall if we don't come to some sort of an agreement and get this bill passed and get it that the government can continue operating. And in the last hours, literally after midnight, they will throw in some 5,000-page, some 7,000-page omnibus bill that nobody's got time to read. They're getting all this pressure from their constituents. Oh, my God, do whatever you got to do. We cannot have the government shut down, right? And that's when they throw in the Trojan horse. And just to remind you, there was a big infrastructure bill in 2022 that was all so important, and that's all the media was talking about. And there was a whole bunch of stuff that got thrown in there that nobody was talking about. First and foremost, and I don't even think most people are aware of this because it doesn't get talked about, are you aware that all cars produced in the U.S. from 2026 on have to be built with alcohol detection devices built into them? Nobody's talking about that.
Yep.
It got slipped in. Last minute, middle of the night, they passed it. Everybody was looking at the left hand. Nobody bothered to read what was happening on the camera here. The right hand, right? Now, that sounds great, right? Oh, we're going to prevent drunk driving. First off, how much does that system cost you? Right. Second off, let me remind you that now you have not been convicted of a crime related to driving under the influence, but you are now subject to alcohol detection before you can drive your car as if you had been convicted of a DUI. Right? How much does that increase the price of your car because that system is mandated to be there, right?
Yeah.
What happens when that system malfunctions? What if you've never had a drink in your life and that system malfunctions and now, God forbid, maybe you're in a dangerous area because you had to go do something for your job? It required you to run off and drop some time cards off at a remote office location in a dangerous neighborhood. And now it's the end of the day. The sun is going down. There's been crazy shit happening in that neighborhood. Your alcohol detection system decides that you've been drinking, even though you've never had a drink in your entire life. And it will not let you start to drive. And now you're sitting duck. How many times is that going to play out from coast to coast? A small percentage of malfunction. Ah, well, you know, it's just a small deal. It's only happened a handful of times. A handful of times, meaning a few thousand crime victims that did nothing wrong that could have gotten out of the area. Who cares? Most importantly, where does the money come from to fund those bills? And that's why I want to talk about what happened in the trucking industry with the electronic logging device mandates. The ELD mandates that passed in 2017 took effect in 2018. The biggest contributor to members of the Senate Transportation Committee, the biggest campaign cash contributors, was a little-known company called Qualcomm. I say little known facetiously. They're actually the largest manufacturer of electronic logging devices in the trucking industry. Qualcomm, they spent a few bucks, you know, just a little bit of pocket change, $5.5 billion per year in campaign contributions to members of the Transportation Committee. I'm sure those contributions had nothing to do with the fact that the ELD mandates got passed. And wouldn't you know, I'm sure it's completely coincidental because everything was done for your safety, okay? Wouldn't you know it, Qualcomm stock went from $30 a share to $150 a share after that mandate was passed in Congress. Now, some crazy conspiracy theorists might look at this exchange of money, this massive increase in stock prices, the number of congressmen that invested in Qualcomm stock before the ELD mandate was voted on. They might look at that and say, you know, it kind of seems like Qualcomm bought this legislation from Congress so that their stock value would increase in price massively and make all their investors rich. And I'm sure it's just a coincidence that quite a few Congress people got involved as well and also got wealthy. I'm sure it's also a coincidence
yep.
that the number of fatalities in the commercial trucking industry only increased as a result of the implementation of that rule, even though they promised us it would bring the number of fatalities down because, you know, it was all about safety. Anyway, folks, that's how a bill becomes law. In America, somebody pays Congress through campaign contributions so they can go out on the campaign trail and write off their five-star hotels, write off their five-star dinners as they go to meet with constituents. That's the system. It's a system we have. It's pure corruption. But now we have to look at what are they going to throw in as we approach a government shutdown. And here's the problem. A lot of people don't have time to go through and analyze the tens of thousands of pages of bills out there to figure out what it is they're going to ram through at the last minute. We're not going to find out what they ram through until after it's already been done. But I do know that one of the things that's probably going to be rammed through is the FMCSA's speed limiter rule. Speed limiters, which is going to regulate all commercial trucks to 68 miles per hour. Now, a lot of people sit there and they look at that, well, you know, that doesn't sound like such a bad idea. Maybe if you live in New York, Boston, somewhere like that where it's congested, the roads are narrow, they go through hills and mountains and stuff like that. You're like, well, you know, 68 miles an hour is really fast. They don't realize if you live somewhere like South Dakota, Nevada, Wyoming, Arizona, New Mexico, where the speed limits are 75, 80 miles an hour, where you can see traffic for miles and miles ahead, literally at one time. They don't realize that that bill's a little bit crazy. They also don't realize that having all commercial trucks moving at the same speed on the highways is going to cause a real problem. It's going to increase the number of accidents between commercial trucks and passenger cars. They also don't realize that reducing the speed by that much is also going to affect the supply chain in a pretty negative way because that's a significant slowdown for, I don't know, maybe tropical produce coming from the West Coast trying to make its way to the Midwest and the Northeast during the winter months. Now you're going to add on 1 to 2 days because of that slowing of how long it takes that truck to get across, you know, 2,000 miles of Western Plains to get to its destination. Darryl, what do you get to add to that?
Okay, here we go. All right, BLDs, number one. This is made for BLDs, like you said, you made a good point, that they said it's for safety. But it's not safety. They already proved that it causes more fatalities and issues than ever before. So you have some people, congressmen and congresswomen, they're getting their hands buttered from these people from the ELD. Now, you also look at this. We have never, ever seen as many trucks on the side of the road before. Why? Because the ELD says they can't move. Once the ELD says your driving time is up, then you have to stop your truck. So now you got trucks sitting on the side of the road. When we used to be able to go, I ain't going to say me because I don't have this stupid ELD, but when they used to be able to go to a safe haven or to a truck stop, or at least get on a interstate get on or get off ramp to get out of the way of the traffic on the interstate. Now, also with the ELDs, who sleeps for 10 hours? We ain't cats. We do not sleep for 10 hours unless you've been partying all night. But then it also messes with your sleep cycle, because there are some people, they do better driving at night. But then their ELD will say, well, you have to sleep for 10 hours at night, and it takes off their sleep cycle. So now they're not going to get the sleep that they're supposed to. Now when they get up, it's time for them to drive. They're going to be more tired. Now, also, the speed limiter. Like you said, it's a mechanical device. Not all trucks, if they set the trucks at 65, not all trucks are going to run right at 65. Some are going to run at 65. Some are going to run at 64. Some are going to run at 66. And you know what's going to happen to all, and a lot of you people, you see it. You get behind these big company trucks, and they're barely passing each other. Now, if they put limiters on these trucks, it's going to get worse. And people, when you have a commercial vehicle that can move with traffic, that is less car to truck reaction that's going to happen. If you slow the truck down, now you're going to have more car to truck reaction, which now you're going to have a higher possibility of it of having an accident. So you people sit back talking about, well, you know, that's not bad that they're going to put them at that speed. But then when you're behind them, and you're behind them for a long time because somebody's going to try to pass someone, then you're going to be complaining. And then you want to drive on the side of the road. And then you want to drive off the emergency side to get around them. And then you cause an accident. Then you want to blame the truck. This industry, the trucking industry, was a very good industry, and they're here to destroy it, just like they want to destroy everything else. They do not want owner-operators or people having their own trucks. If you heard during Trucker Appreciation Week, what was the news saying? Oh, we have a trucker shortage. People, let me tell you something. We don't have a trucker shortage. We never did have a trucker shortage. And if you notice, they don't talk to people who are independent or own their own trucks. They're always company truck drivers that they talk to. And so, all this stuff is, like you said before, I'm so tired of when they pass laws, they try to pass one law, but they throw all this other stuff in it. How come they just can't say, you know what, this is a law, this right here, we don't need to add nothing to it, just vote on this. That is something that people need to start doing, and you people need to start paying attention and start voting for people like that. But this is so BS. And like you said with the small business with COVID, the small business person every single time. And like you said, why is it that the small businesses had to suffer, but then you had the big box stores like Walmart, Sam's Club, Costco, Home Depot, they're making record sales. And then I'm just going to say for a governor here, you know what, if I was a governor here in Colorado and you tell your working class people, you know what, you have to do this, this, and this because of this event, then if you're going to do that, then you should be able to have enough respect and enough leadership to say, okay, small business, what is it that we can do to help you to get back to where you were? Because you sacrificed for us. The big business, we don't need to take care of them because they made record sales. But let's take care of the mom and dad businesses. But see, we vote for people who doesn't want to believe that. You people who own businesses, you vote for people who are going against you because of a R or a D behind their name. You got to stop that and start going for people who's going to fight for you. That's the only way we're going to get through this, because if not, we're going to be like all these other nations where you have all these people escaping and coming here illegally, which is a different story, coming here and doing things. And we don't want that.
Absolutely. And, you know, the truckers told you. Truckers warned you. And ironically enough, even the Freedom Convoy in Canada had nothing to do really with the trucking industry. It was
right.
trying to warn the public. There's this massive, you know, conspiracy going on against your rights, your human rights. And we're just using our trucks to stand up for you. But, of course, they got vilified. They got branded as racist. All the typical things you would do to discredit, you know, your opponent as opposed to actually arguing against the message that they're trying to bring. But before we get too serious, I am aware that my lovely wife has only told one funny news story tonight. So before we get into our last little segment, which is kind of humorous in itself, it's entitled Killer Windmills. Those damn serial killer windmills.
Killer windmills.
We're gonna have Carla tell us her second segment of strange news, bizarre news. What do you
strange,
want to call it?
Bizarre news. Not hearing about because it's distracted, right?
It's distracted. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna, you know, outdo the anal bead, but I'm gonna give it a shot.
Okay. So from anal beads, where was this chess match?
That was, don't even ask me that.
Okay, where was the chess match?
Somewhere, it was in Singapore or somewhere.
We are now gonna go.
Now we're going to Michigan.
Now we're gonna go to Michigan. And just in case you're aware, just to remind you, Michigan is where the FBI tried to kidnap a governor. And then they tried to indict two people who were just in the car that the federal agents planned this kidnapping. By the way, all charges have been dropped against those guys. I know they don't talk about that. Because ultimately, the FBI convicted its indict. Here we go. The FBI indicted itself for trying to kidnap the governor, and the guys who had nothing to do with the plan were set free. Without further ado, since we're talking about Michigan and everything that is pure Michigan, let's talk about pure Michigan.
Oh, this is pure Michigan in every way of shape form. So this story just came out. There is a lesson to be learned at the very end, so please listen carefully.
Yes.
This is serious.
A public safety message.
This is a public safety message from me to you.
Yep.
So what had occurred is, and we all are familiar with outhouses, right? So they're those little shitters that you go to that are out in the backyards. Or
was it an outhouse or a porta potty?
It was an outhouse.
Oh, an actual outhouse.
From
like the 1900s.
Yes. So this took place, it was at Northern Michigan, at a boat dock at the Department of National Resources.
Oh, DNR.
Yeah, the DNR. And so I guess a lady decided that she had to go to the outhouse, which, you know, you got to go do your duty, right? So she goes in.
Do your thing.
She's wearing her Apple Watch. Don't know what she was doing with her Apple Watch, but the next thing she knows is it fell into the containment area.
Was she trying to win a chess game?
Maybe she was trying. Maybe she was reading the story about the chess game with the Adelbees and was trying to figure this out and somehow dropped her watch, her Apple Watch, into the containment area of the outhouse.
Fire in the hole.
And decided, because we all have common sense in this world nowadays, that she would just climb right into the containment area to retrieve her Apple Watch.
Now, when you say containment area,
I'm talking about
raising the toilet seat and actually lowering yourself headfirst down the hole.
Well, I don't know if she went headfirst or if she went feet first, but she went down the hole into the area
to
retrieve her Apple Watch that has now fallen.
For the record, when we talk about going down the rabbit hole, this is not what we are talking about. Okay,
so she continues to go to try to retrieve her Apple Watch. Next thing you know, DNR hears screaming coming from the outhouse because she is stuck. The rescue squad show up. They take the outhouse down. They put a strap around her. They pull her out of the containment area.
The containment area.
Yes, I'm going to say containment area. Is that right? See, I'm being politically correct by saying containment area. And we don't know, though, if there was any injuries. I hope there wasn't any injuries. I can't imagine what these rescuers were thinking of. Or we don't know if she was actually able to retrieve her Apple Watch. But the public service announcement did come through from the Michigan State Police. And this is a quote, guys. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Says, if you lose an item in an outhouse toilet, do not attempt to venture inside the containment area.
Did they call it the containment area?
They called it the containment area.
There you go.
And then they gave you a public service announcement, and the reason is because serious injury could occur.
Thank God.
So there you go for my public service announcement.
Thank God for government politically correct intervention so that we now know that the area that you shit into is officially called the containment
area.
The fecal temporary detention hole. I don't know.
The shitter. Let's just call it what it is.
Daryl.
Daryl.
Damn it,
how
man.
Do you like
hey, Colorado, do you need a public service message from the state government to let you know you shouldn't dive headfirst into an outhouse shitter hole?
You know what? If you're that, I'm just going to say, if you're that dumb enough to do that, you don't need the government to warn you how stupid you are. Because
know that on every outhouse going forward, now there is going to be little warning signs saying, please do not climb into the containment areas. It may cause serious damage.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me they have to put that on there because we have some people that, again, look at our education system. And some of these, and I'll say it, some of these parents don't teach their kids any daggone common sense. At Apple Watch, you're really going to go down a honeypot, a.k.a., let's just call it like it is, and people, you want to get mad at it, get mad. It's called a shitter, and it's called a shitter for a reason, because stuff that's in there, there's a word for it, and it's called shit, and it's in there. You don't go diving in a pile of shit just to go get a stupid watch. Buy another one. And then you're jumping in. Okay, then you're jumping in to other people's crap. And no telling what's in their crap, so you can get a stupid watch? Really?
Watch.
Why don't you put a sign on your back, lay down on the floor, and tell everybody, hey, do me a favor, I got my watch, but take a crap on me. Come on,
right.
Well, nasty.
Can you imagine,
that person's
though,
nasty.
What I want to know is I would love to see the reactions of the first responders showing up for this, knowing they were the ones that were going to have to go in. I mean, to retrieve this smell.
I would have been in a hazmat suit. And I would have been in a hazmat suit, and I would have told the fire department, hold on, we're going to give her a prisoner wash when she comes out and make her just like she's going to sit, make her like she's going to county jail. Here, stand against this wall, and let's hose her off because she stank.
Now, the good thing the news did do right by the lady. And did not report her name.
I'm gonna leave that alone.
I can only assume that she is a registered Democrat because God knows voted for Donald Trump. They would say Trump supporter dives headfirst into a pile of shit.
Yeah, that's
parental guidance is suggested.
And she went head first. Head first. She didn't go feet first. She went head first. That is one person. That's nasty. And you know she got it. She got it in her mouth. You know they would taste it.
Okay. And now we're gonna go to Chris's story here.
They had brown teeth.
My story seems kind of boring. I mean, after we talked about anal beads and shithouse diving.
You told me to bring a couple stories to the table. He did not
give
me
corn in her mouth.
Of the stories.
All right. So now, because God knows I do enough bad. bashing on the leftists in this show. But I'm not a conservative.
I am.
I'm probably a little bit right-leaning, but I'm not a conservative. And I'm going to bash a little bit on the conservative now. I'm even going to bash a little bit on Donald Trump right now. Because the latest thing to come out is that the windmills, the offshore windmills, are apparently killing whales.
Oh, my gosh, really?
And you're probably asking yourself, what the hell does a freaking blade spinning up in the air have to do with killing whales underwater?
Because it's in the flash that is sending on contaminates the water around them, and that's what's killing them.
No.
Okay. Nope. That was my guess.
No,
there you
supposedly,
go.
The vibrations of the windmill, okay, going through the water.
Here we go with vibrations again.
But you might be... They're good. This show is all about vibrations. From anal beads to offshore windmills, vibrations are the problem. So the vibrations, apparently, from these windmills are like going through the waters and apparently messing with the whale's ability to navigate. Now, the National Ocean Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, as we know it in the weather world, they have come out and said, no, there's actually no scientific evidence to suggest that this is a thing. But conservatives, I don't know what it is. Conservatives absolutely hate with a passion wind energy. And there's as much propaganda on the anti-wind energy conservative side as there is anything else.
Well, I'm sitting here thinking maybe it's all the trash we dump in our oceans, or maybe it's all the oil spills that just happen to get done in our oceans, or, you know,
yeah.
But yeah, let's, because of vibration.
And
yeah.
So, you know, I will track this story a little bit further as it develops. No, I do not believe that windmills are killing whales. I don't believe that at all. Any more than I believe any other ridiculous claims. You know, I have spent a few years doing work on wind farms. And if I were to believe the conservative stories are out there, you would believe that I would need to be out there with a shovel, removing all the dead birds from the roadway to get to the windmills in order to even deliver windmills. And of course, that's nonsense. That's not the case. I can honestly say in roughly 5 years of doing work out on wind farms, I don't believe I've ever seen one dead bird laying on the ground. I really don't. I know it disturbs all kinds of wildlife. None of the cattle roaming freely through the plots I went through with windmills, none of the cattle seemed to care. None of the wild hogs seemed to care. None of the deer I saw roaming freely near them seemed to care that windmills were there. I haven't seen any of these things that the conservatives talk about. The conservatives would have you believe that there's a massive conspiracy theory that big companies like GE are just really interested in losing money on wind energy, and that's why they invest billions of dollars in it, so they can lose money on these wind farms that don't produce enough electricity to offset their costs. Just so you know, that's total BS. Most of the statistics that I see about wind farms are based upon the prototype back in like the early 90s when they were first experimenting with the wind turbine. Like most things, wind turbine technology has increased quite a bit in 35 to 40 years. I know it's a shock. but the technology has increased. They've added all sorts of things. The blades have gotten longer. They have changed the gearboxes to make the energy production more effective. When the wind is slow, they have gotten better at identifying areas that get the most wind. I'm not even going to get into all the details. I will just say most of the anti-wind energy memes that you see floating out there are pretty much bullshit. You know, pardon my language, but they are. But I don't know. Daryl, what kind of comeback do you have for this latest serial killer windmills do you have?
Well, I'm not going to label it as conservative. I'm going to label it because it's more than just conservatives. You just can't label just one set of people has these craziness ideas, because there's a lot of people that don't. And a lot of people, they're misinformed about a lot of things. But at the same time, though, you know, there is some things about the windmills. Like, for instance, you don't see them in the big cities. Where do you see them at? You see them in farmlands. You see them in areas where they can't, even though they don't want the windmills, they can't fight it because they don't have the money. And then, too, also, you know, with the windmills, you know, they don't generate power like they want you to think they do, because they don't. You know, the thing is, you know, electricity, what people don't understand, electricity, it wears off going the furthest away from the source it goes, and you have to have certain things to go ahead and bring it back up. Also, yes, there are diesel engines in the windmill. And one, yeah, they help them to stop them from freezing. Why? Because when there's no wind, they're not turning. And then there's times when there is no wind, they need a diesel generator to kind of help them along so they can produce something. So with that in mind,
okay,
so we have to have wind power.
Daryl, are no diesel generators in this place. That's bullshit. So,
No, it's not.
I'm gonna bring on a fellow wind farm worker. Brian, I know you and I have been on some of these wind farms together. Brian, I'm bringing you on the air. Let her rip. How you doing, Brian?
Well, this is an interesting bit. I was going to make a comment about the ELDs, and we started talking about the shitter problem, make a smart-ass comment about that, and now we're talking about wind farms. Yeah, I mean, I've been on a lot of wind farms. And here's the thing, Daryl. I think wind energy is the dumbest thing in existence. Like, I am not in Chris's camp with this. I truly am not in Chris's camp with this. I've done a lot of wind projects, mostly because they pay the bills. But at the end of the day, yeah, I've never actually seen a generator on site to keep things warm.
All right. So what do you keep from freezing? Because even in the military, when you have an aircraft that has the propellers, because wind farms don't move all the time. They don't. We know that. Everybody see it going down the road. In the wintertime, if a farm, especially something that big, that high up in the sky, is going to freeze, something has to power it so it can turn. Because wind is not going to turn a frozen one. Just like down here at the level where we're at, a frozen prop is not going to turn by itself. You have to have something on it to turn it. And one thing that we have that helps it is called a heater. And then another thing that we have to help it is called a diesel generator to turn it. That we have turboprops on a C-130. So what turns on a windmill in the middle of the winter that is froze up that high? Because it's not wind. Wind doesn't do it. I know it.
Yeah,
you know it.
The oil that they use in it actually doesn't freeze at the same temperature. The last one I was on, it was negative 20 degrees on the ground. They'll de-ice the blade, Like, so they'll go out there every so often, especially like after a snowstorm, windstorm, and they'll de-ice the blade. But there's nothing internally that actually does that. It really, honestly, mostly is just the wind that'll spin the blade, or it is the wind only that will spin the blade. I believe there are some that actually do have a heating component in it that they can backflow electricity to warm it back up if need be. But that's not diesel generators. Those coal-powered plants from 100 to 300-400 miles away, you know, off the normal grid. So they could backflow the energy, sure.
I'm not talking about a diesel generator to produce energy. You have to have something, because even on a C-130, okay, you have oil there. We have components there that will help de-ice it. But when there's something there, because I'm not saying that the oil is going to freeze. You're going to have the components that's going to freeze. It's not just the oil. You're going to have that propeller is going to freeze. And even in the Scottish, over there in Scotland where they have it, even the Scottish Scottish Power Institute, they even said that they even have generators in there. Why? It's to prevent the windmill from freezing in the winter. They even have that. So maybe there's, you know, the ones that you were in, they may not have it. I don't know, but I haven't been in all of them. But there are some that has it. But I'm not going to say that all generators that they, you know, they have diesel engines, so they could just, only thing they're there to do is turn it. They have to have something there other than a heating element to turn it, because there's wind that's blowing as heavy as those blades are, as heavy as they are, and there's hardly no wind blowing, and it's in the negative degrees, there is no way the wind is going to turn that big blade when it's negative. It doesn't matter if the oil is not frozen or not.
Okay,
I'm going to do some more research on that, because so far the last time I read,
I'm telling you, there is nothing.
The last place I was at, the last place I was at, like I said, it was negative 20 on the ground. The wind on the ground was maybe 5 miles an hour at most, and up at the top where the blades are, and we're not even talking like a tip top of the blade, we're talking like the tower itself, and the blade stands up another 100 feet beyond the tower. The wind was moving at 20 mile an hour. So
right.
Just because the wind is not that bad at ground level does not mean that wind is not moving at a damn good clip at the top. It's amazing what wind actually can do. I mean, I don't know if either one of you guys have seen this yet, but there's this interesting little notion that we can actually transport materials on the ocean using big-ass kites and using wind. I hope to hell you guys understand what I'm saying about this. They're legitimately talking about using kites to catch wind to move ships across the ocean.
They do that way back in the day?
Yeah, that's kind of the point. So,
all right, guys.
The point being, though, is a little bit of wind goes a long way.
Real quick,
Ryan. Go ahead.
We're like 30 seconds out.
Huh?
All the strange things that I've heard tonight, all I can say is that start taking warning labels off of everything. I'm willing to bet that the woman going into that shitter was named Whitmer, and the only thing I'm diving in a shitter for is my wedding ring, because that is the only thing I cannot leave without getting executed when I get home.
I don't think you'll go down. I don't think you can go in there head first. You might get a fishing hook to go fishing.
Folks, on that note, thank you for being here for another episode of Distracted. I'm going to go ahead and roll the closing credits for the night. Brian, thanks for your input on everything. And Daryl, you know we love you. We appreciate it.
Oh,
talk about this.
I love you too. Brian, thanks for coming on.
Good night, everybody.